headlines this hour. The United States announces its nuclear weapons doctrine.
If you're not going to play by the rules, if you're going to be a proliferator, then all options are on the table in terms of how we deal with you.
Iran's leader calls for action against Israeli efforts to force Palestinian people out of their homes. And NATO accuses Afghan President Hamid Karzai of undermining the US-led war in the country.
It's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of World News on Press TV.
Thanks for joining us. The U.S. Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, says Washington keeps all options on the table to deal with Iran's nuclear program.
If you're not going to play by the rules, if you're going to be a proliferator, then all options are on the table in terms of how we deal with you.
Well, Gates made the comments, after unveiling the U.S. new nuclear strategy known as the Nuclear Posture Review, or NPR. The strategy refuses to ban the use of nuclear weapons. Under the NPR, Washington commits itself only to not use nuclear weapons against non-nuclear states. Many hoped Obama's new strategy would be a sharp shift from those of his predecessors. The United States used nuclear weapons against Japan back in 1945 to become the only country to have ever used such weapons in combat. Well, some political analysts hit out at the U.S. double standards towards Iran's nuclear program. They say it is Israel and not Iran that should concern President Obama.
What it does is raise this huge question when he uses this language about examining all the international community for their compliance with the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. What about those who haven't signed it? What about Israel? Obama is not worried about Iran. I am convinced of that. I don't think Washington is worried about Iran. Iran's history has been, responsible. I think, they're caving a little bit to the Zionist pressure, and that's all there is. What I think the Obama administration is worried about is Israel's reaction and the control of Israel's nuclear, arsenal.
Well, 2 days from now, the Russian and U.S. presidents are expected to sign a new historic arms reduction pact, ending a year of intense negotiations. One of the key questions has been, will it contain a link between arms cuts and defensive weapons, which Russia has insisted on and the U.S. has been against? The Russian foreign minister has revealed some details, and our correspondent Svetlana Korkina reports.
Russia can walk out of the new Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty if the United States builds up a missile system. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov made the statement 2 days before the pact is to be signed.
Russia has the right to withdraw from the treaty if the quantitative and qualitative increase in the U.S. strategic missile defense affects the efficiency of Russian strategic nuclear forces.
According to the minister, Moscow itself will determine the degree of the influence. Lavrov says Washington's plans for a missile system currently pose no threat to Russia, but didn't rule out they eventually would. The pact stipulates the number of nuclear warheads should be cut to 1,550 on each side and the delivery vehicles to 800 on each side. The deal will be valid for 10 years. Lavrov expressed hope the Russian State Duma and the U.S. Congress will ratify it by the end of April, but analysts doubt things will go smoothly.
It's going to be tough, and one reason it's going to be tough is because in addition to concerns that are going to be raised about the verifiability and a couple of other features of the new START treaty, the opponents of the START treaty tend also to be those who do not want to see President Obama succeed later this year in ratifying a comprehensive test ban treaty.
START 1 treaty expired on December 5th last year. Russia and the U.S. have negotiated a replacement for it since last April, but talks have dragged, with the U.S. missile system in Europe being a major sticking point. Many say the U.S. Senate is unlikely to ratify any document containing a formal link between arms cuts and the missile system. The Russian and U.S. presidents will draw the line as they sign the treaty on Thursday in Prague. But experts warn the next step, ratification, could turn out just as long and dramatic as work on the text has been. Svetlana Korkina, Press TV, Moscow.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has called on world Muslims to create a united front against Israeli plots. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei reminded that the organization of the Islamic Conference, the OIC, was initially established in order to defend the Palestinian people. He urged the Islamic body to mobilize Muslims throughout the world against what he calls the Zionists' sly moves. Ayatollah Khamenei strongly slammed Israel for attempting to remove the Islamic identity of Palestine by keeping Palestinians away from their holy sites and forcing them out of their homes. The leader encouraged Muslims to try their utmost to confront Israel's wickedness and greed.
Well, another wave of violence has swept the Iraqi capital Baghdad, killing 49 civilians and wounding 161 others. The explosions happened 2 days after the bloody attacks which targeted the foreign embassies in Baghdad.
2 days after a series of explosions near foreign embassies in Baghdad killed at least 41 people, other blasts rocked the capital, killing more than 49 civilians and injuring 161 others. Baghdad security spokesman Major General Qasem Atta said attackers detonated 7 blasts across the city using homemade bombs and a car packed with explosives. He blamed the wave of attacks since Friday on remnants of Al-Qaeda and supporters of executed dictator Saddam and his outlawed Ba'ath party. Al-Iraqiya bloc of former Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Allawi, which won a narrow lead in the elections, condemned the recent violent attacks, blaming them on the current power vacuum.
These plots do not fit with the Turkey of today. That was then and this is now. We cannot lose time with these scenarios anymore.
The attacks comes as political parties are now attempting to form coalitions with enough support to lead the government. People seem to be frustrated with the performance of the security forces as there has been a rise in the level of violence in the last few days. They have urged politicians to accelerate the formation of the new government so that the terrorists cannot exploit any possible power vacuum.
We are frustrated of the terrorist attacks. We urge the Iraqi officials to accelerate the formation of the new government.
The head of the security committee in Baghdad Provincial Council said the political parties have focused on coalition talks at the expense of the security warning that increased terrorist attacks could derail such talks together.
We were planning to stabilize the security more than it used to be after the formation of the Iraqi government, but these attacks slowed our process to achieve our objective.
The bombings have ended a period of relative calm following last month's parliamentary elections.
The recent terrorist attacks raised questions about the capability of the Iraqi security forces and embarrassed the security commanders, which encouraged the people of Iraq to repeat their calls on the Iraqi officials to perform faster in forming the new Iraqi government. Usama Albati, Press TV, from the Iraqi capital, Baghdad.
Well, NATO forces have killed dozens of people in an airstrike in southern Afghanistan. Eyewitnesses say at least 25 civilians have been killed in the airstrike on a compound in Nahr-e-Saraj, a district in Helmand province. Earlier reports said only 4 civilians, including 2 women, a child and an elderly man, were the victims of the attack. NATO says it has launched an investigation into the incident. Press TV has learned that local people held a demonstration in the region against foreign troops. They managed to block the road linking the 2 provinces of Helmand and Kandahar for several hours.
Meanwhile, NATO has warned the Afghan president against undermining public support for the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan.
Last week, President Hamid Karzai said foreigners, not Afghans, orchestrated the fraud in Afghanistan's presidential election last year. The U.S. was quick to condemn the remarks. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs called them troubling and preposterous, but the Afghan president is sticking to his guns. On Monday, Karzai reiterated his claims. He added that the United States and the rest of the world should respect the fact that Afghanistan is a sovereign country. The US-led invasion is fast losing public support. Polls show people in NATO countries want their soldiers back home. But after almost a decade of war, the Taliban are being pronounced stronger than ever. And instead of a withdrawal, more troops are being sent to the war-torn country. Consequently, more caskets are returning from the front line. Obama has promised to finish the job and complete a mission that will ensure the safety of the American people. But over in Kabul, Kandahar and other Afghan cities, people are getting tired of the NATO presence. The main issue fueling anti-US sentiment is civilian deaths caused by US-led operations. Civilian deaths in Afghanistan are being reported every day, and the idea that sending more troops will solve the problem is very much controversial. With all the opposition to the war and the negligible progress it is making, people want to know what the war is really all about.
Well, the United States is seeking to fine the Japanese giant car manufacturer Toyota over faulty accelerator pedals that led to a massive worldwide recall. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the NHTSA, accuses Toyota of failing to inform the U.S. government about the technical defect. The amount of money which the administration is seeking is the maximum possible, beyond $16 million. Based on U.S. law, car manufacturers must inform officials within 5 days of detecting a safety imperfection and being recalling soon afterwards. Toyota has already recalled 8.5 million Prius models around the world for faulty accelerator pedals and braking systems. Over one-third of those cars were recalled in the U.S. alone in late January. Well, earlier, Dr. Roger von Hanwer has explained how the Toyota defect could damage the reputation of the Japanese car industry besides the enormous financial loss inflicted on the country.
The monetary cost of the over 138 class action lawsuits in the U.S. alone, the 100 or more federal civil lawsuits, they're going to mount into the hundreds of millions of dollars. And then, of course, the impact on the disruption of Toyota sales, distribution, and assembly lines across the world, since so many different models of automobiles are impacted by this defect, and by the impact of both the accelerometer problem and the braking, the sticky brake problem. It's a set of three different problems, not to mention the rubber mattings on the floor of the driver's compartment. Of course, the impact on the vaunted tradition of Japanese manufacturing elegance, manufacturing accuracy and efficiency has been damaged.
And you're watching the news here on Press TV. A quick check of the headlines this hour. The U.S. announces its nuclear weapons doctrine.
If you're not going to play by the rules, if you're going to be a proliferator, then all options are on the table in terms of how we deal with you.
Well, Iran's leader calls for action against Israeli efforts to force Palestinian people out of their homes. And NATO accuses Afghan President Hamid Karzai of undermining the US-led war in the country.